Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Well, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good. Can you say it enough? Hallelujah. Praise God. Say it again. The Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Aren't you glad He isn't done with you by the end of the day? About halfway through the day, He's had enough. No, thank God. He can handle it. He can handle you. Wow. A lot of folks can't. I said a lot of folks can't handle you. But thank God, God can handle you. And you and you and you and you. And God can handle all of us put together. Woo, that's a big God. And he doesn't get weighted down. He doesn't get overwhelmed with us. And so, you know, let's give ourselves to Him. I said, let's give ourselves to Him. He can handle it. He can handle you. And so there's no sense in you trying to handle you, because you're a handful and a half. You can't handle you. You can't handle you. So many folks try to handle themselves. You can't handle yourself. That's why, you know, a lot of folks, they live life out of control. They're just out of control. Their mouths are out of control. Their thought life's out of control. Everything's just out of control. It's like, you know, everything's just on a rampage. And maybe not outwardly. You know, some people have a very quiet disposition about them. But yet they're on a rampage on the inside. You know, I remember a guy years back, you know. Folks thought he was meek, but he was just being timid. He was just timid, you know. He's quiet, withdrawn. But it wasn't because of humility that he was quiet. And so, you know, he never said much about anything. And then one day somebody crossed him and said the wrong thing. And he just went off. Man, did he go off. He went off like, you know, I've seen very few people go off. He just went off. And I thought, well, isn't that something? Mr. Quiet, Mr. It's not my personality to shout. It's not my personality to raise my voice. It's amazing how he's raising his voice now when he's freaking out. But you see, you know, that rage many times is going on the inside of people, even while they're just kind of sitting quietly looking straight ahead. That's why a lot of folks that commit some of these heinous crimes, you know, their neighbors say, he was such a nice person. They were so quiet. I'm just absolutely shocked. Yeah, because there was more going on inside them than there was going on the outside. So, you know, there's a lot going on inside people. There's a lot of rage. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of confusion. And it's mainly because people are trying to take care of their own lives and trying to make things make sense in life and trying to make all their crooked places straight and trying to live up to other people's expectations. And oh, they got such weights. People walk around so heavy, so weighted down, so burdened down. But friend, there's a God. There's a God who's bigger than you, who can handle you, who is here for that very purpose, to handle you, to handle your life, to take care of you, so that you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about your life. God said He would take care of it. And He says it right here in our text over here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Why don't you turn there again this morning in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here in verse 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, that therefore there is talking, is a conjunction. It's connecting you to the previous word. So we might as well back up and look at them also. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. Remember we talked about how humility is spiritual clothing. And it's something we put on. It's something you got a purpose to put on. It doesn't just happen. It's not automatic. Just like what you're wearing this morning wasn't just automatic. It wasn't just something that just happened. It just happened, Pastor. I don't know what happened. I got up and here I was. No, you put those clothes on this morning. Well, they're spiritual clothing you have to put on. And God expects you to. He expects you to rise up and take hold of His word and begin to put on the things that He has given you. Take hold of the things that He has given you in His word, the promises that He's given you. You've got to take hold of them and put these things on. And one of the ways you take up the clothing of God is by talking it up. Talking it up. Speaking the word of God. Speaking the right things. So He says, be clothed with humility for or because. This is a big reason why you need to be clothed with humility. This is huge right here. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, the last one you want resisting you is God. Come on. You don't want to push God away. You know, when I think of God resisting us, I think of two magnets. And if you know, the positive and the negative magnets, they'll attract to each other. Just swoom. They'll just pull them together. You don't have to force them together. They're just drawn to each other. But if you have two positives, man, you can't make those two connect, can you? I mean, it just won't, scientifically, I mean, it just won't work. You cannot make two positive magnets connect with each other. They'll just resist and fight each other. How many of you ever tried to do that? Yeah. Sure, we all have, I'm sure, you know. And you try to determine to make it work. That's how a lot of folks live their lives, with God. Trying. I'm trying to do the will of God. I'm trying to obey God. I'm trying to be the right person. Well, stop it. Stop trying and start surrendering. And trusting God to bring about His promises in your life through your restful obedience to Him. So if we act like God and we're the positive and we know God's positive, He's God, it's not going to work. We're never going to come together. So that's where that resistance comes in. It's not like God wants to resist us any more than that magnet wants to resist the other positive magnet. It's just the way it works. It just works that way. Same thing. That's what pride is to God. Like I said last time, like kryptonite is to Superman. Man's pride is to God. You know, kryptonite, I mean, Superman was, I mean, he had all the power and strength to do anything he wanted to do unless he got around kryptonite. Then he just couldn't do much. That's what pride does to God in our life. God literally can't do much. And we talked about that last week, that there are cases, there are things, that certain things God cannot do. We see that over in Mark chapter 6 and so forth. And so we don't want God resisting us. And so therefore we make it our aim to be clothed with humility. He gives grace to the humble. Man, that's His ability. That's His strength. We need His grace. So we humble ourselves to get a hold of that grace. Therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, due season, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Glory be to God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Another translation says, throw your cares. Throw your cares on Him. You know, I think of a quarterback throwing our cares on Him. We can say it this way. Those who don't pass their cares to God are often sacked by pride. Come on, we're getting close to the Super Bowl. I'm feeling it. Are you with me this morning? Those who don't pass their cares to God are often sacked by pride. Pride is growing if cares we aren't throwing. These are little tweets the Lord gives me. Then he gave me this one. He said, the question is not if the Patriots deflated the ball, but if pride is inflating your head. That's what really matters to God. Anyhow, let's make sure that we're not being inflated, amen, by pride. Because that's what pride does. It inflates you. It puffs you up. People fail to cast their cares because they don't fully believe that God cares for them. That's why he said, cast all your cares on him for, or because he cares for you. He cares for you. Say, God cares for me. Now, this is why people don't cast their cares, because they're doubting that very thing. If you knew how much he cared for you, and he cares about those little details in your life, you'd be quick to give them to God. And thus, live your life carefree, which is humility. Humility is carefree. Pride has a lot of problems. Pride has a lot of cares. Now, you might have a lot of problems according to the natural, but yet those problems don't have you. You understand what I'm saying? And so you don't have a lot of problems. The house is leaking. I have a lot of problems. You know, we have this. The finances are low. I have a lot. Well, no, the finances are low. The finances have a problem. The house leaking. The house has a problem. What is it? Why does that have to be you having a problem? Well, this thing is going wrong. You know, I have a problem. Well, no, well, that's a problem, but does that mean you have to have the problem? See, we got to let God take care of these external things and keep our hearts free of pride by keeping our hearts free of the cares of this life. Humble yourselves. How? Casting your cares. If you're carrying cares, you're getting further and further away from your answer. Why? Because God resists the proud, and your answer is in his grace. So if he's resisting you, then you're not going to get the grace you need to really have the breakthrough that you need. So you have got to test your cares. You've got to clothe yourself with humility. Talk it up. Talk God up. God, you got this. God, you're on top of this. God, you're greater. God, you promised in your word. God, I thank you that you're God and I'm not. That's how you clothe yourself. That's how you talk it up. That's how you talk up that spiritual clothing. Get yourself clothed with humility. Get that grace of God on you. Man, I don't have time with God, man. I have such a busy, busy day. Listen, the more busy your day is, the more grace you need. Which means the more you need to what? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and draw near to him. That is not the time to run out there and try to take on the world. I got so much to do. I got to get it all done today. And you're running out there without the grace of God. You are spiritually streaking. And you need to stop it. No angel should have to witness that. Put on your beautiful garments. Are you with me this morning? Be clothed, man. Be clothed with humility. Stop this running around. Be clothed. Now, we saw this. We have examples of this in the Word of God. We looked at the disciples out there on the boat with Jesus over there in Mark chapter 4. Jesus was down sleeping in the boat, and a great storm had arisen. And, you know, these guys were fishermen. They were used to out there being at sea, but this was a very vicious storm, and to the point where the waves were beating against the boat, and the boat was beginning to fill with water. But Jesus continued to just sleep right on through it. He just continued to sleep right on through it because he was trusting in his Father. I said he was trusting in his Father. Jesus is an example for you and I to follow. Jesus did what he did in life, not because he was God, but because he had God as his Father. He wasn't functioning as God in this world. He didn't know everything. He wasn't all powerful. It was only when he yielded to the Holy Spirit that he operated in supernatural power. And it's the same thing for you and I today. So Jesus is doing what he's doing even here in resting and sleeping on this boat as a man. As a man trusting in the Father. And you know, if Jesus says, we're going over to the other side, unless God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, told him differently and warned him and said, don't do this, then they're going to get over there. They're going to get across to the other side. And that's why we have to build our relationship with God by spending time with him so that we come to that place that we know that if God isn't warning us about something, then it's okay. If he's not warning us to not do this and not go here, then it's okay. Now again, the warnings start with the word. So we get to know him through the written word of God, and there's warnings right here in the word. Don't do this, be sure to do this. There's instruction right here in the word. So we obey that word. So as long as we're walking in line with the word here, then we're following our hearts. We got the Holy Spirit living in us as believers in the Lord Jesus. He gives us direction in life. He'll convict us. He'll show us things to come. He'll warn us. And so we got to be confident in our relationship with God that, you know what? If God's not warning me, if God's not telling me we're in trouble, then we're not in trouble. Even though the circumstances are telling me we're in trouble. Even though people are telling me we're in trouble. Even though the devil's telling me we're in trouble. God's saying all is well. But he's not saying anything. Because he's my Father. And I serve him. And he would warn me if I was getting into a real dangerous situation. He would warn me. Jesus was sound asleep. Apparently the Father wasn't upset about the storm. Father wasn't telling him, abort the mission. Man your battle stations. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's not what he was getting in the Holy Spirit. But that's exactly what he was getting from his disciples. I mean, they came barging in there, probably kicked open the cabin door, you know. Came in there, couldn't take it any longer, held out long enough. And look at the words that come out of their mouths. Here, Mark 4, verse 38. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you care? Notice what they questioned. They questioned his care for them. And as a result of that, they were full of cares. Which we know is pride. It's pride. Because it's not trusting God. They are all worried about themselves, totally consumed with themselves, totally into themselves. They couldn't hear from God for anything in that state. You know, we got to watch something happens, or suddenly happens, you know. All of a sudden, you know, we get a bad report about something. Or something appears to happen, and panic sets in. Oh God. And people start panicking. Listen, you can't hear from God when you're panicking. He's not in the panic. He's a God of peace. He speaks in a small, still voice. He's calm. And so if we're in a panic, we're going to miss him. Again, we're going to miss out on the grace, the very grace we need to get through the storm. To get through the very thing we're so worried and concerned about. We've got to know how to pull back on the inside and listen for God. It looks bad, but it sounds bad, but everything's all right. God's not saying anything. All is well. God's not telling me to run. God's not telling me to jump ship. But a lot of folks are running. A lot of folks are jumping ship. A lot of folks are doing things out of fear and not out of faith in God. Faith doesn't react to circumstances. Faith responds to God. And we need to be people that respond and don't react to circumstances. we respond to things from hearts of faith, being led by the Spirit of God. Lord, don't you care? Don't you? And you think about the foolishness in that question. They've been walking with him, you know. Do you care? I don't know. Did he care when he opened that blind guy's eyes? Did he care when he caused that crippled person to? Did he care when he multiplied the bread and the fishes? He just did that. He just fed thousands of people because they were hungry. Did he care? Did he care? Did he care? Did he? His whole life was about giving and loving and caring for people. But here they lost sight of all that. And so insulting is the question. Do you care? Do you care? There was a leper that had come to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can heal me. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In other words, I know you have the power to do it, but I don't know if you care about me enough to do it. How many people know that's a slam? That's an insult to the character of Jesus. To say, now, you know, God has the power to do things, but sometimes he could really care less. Sometimes he could just care less about you. How would you like somebody saying that about you? Oh, David, he's a good guy, you know. He's got a lot of resources, a lot of good things, but he just doesn't care. That's why he doesn't help anybody. No, it'd be better to say, now, David over here, he doesn't have much, but if he did, you know he would help you. He'd be the first guy in there to help you. That commends him, doesn't it? That commends him. How many people believe God should be being commended and praised, not insulted and slammed? I got news for you. There's so-called Christians and churches that are slamming God all the time. Blaming him for stuff. Undermining his love, his generosity, his goodness. Rather than taking responsibility for their own unbelief. Taking responsibility for their own arrogant pride that keeps causing God to resist them. I got news for you. God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What more does he have to do to prove his love and his care for you? He didn't just take your sins so you can go to heaven. The Bible says in Matthew 8:17, he took your infirmities, he bore your sicknesses. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes, by his wounds, the beatings that he took, you were healed. He healed you. He took your sicknesses. He took your diseases. Christ became a curse for you so you could be blessed. And you're going to ask, do you care? Do you care? Well, I'm not sure. God's not interested in these kind of things. God's interested in spiritual healings. God's into spiritual prosperity. He doesn't really care much about your life in this world. That's religion. That's a lie. He bore every kind of physical, natural curse in this world so that you can be blessed in this world. So you can have days of heaven right here on the earth. Friend, I got to say, God cares very much for you. And that's not something we should ever question or doubt. But pride does. Pride will doubt it. Pride will question it. You can hear the pride in Peter's voice. Don't you care about me, about us? In other words, are you only into yourself? Apparently you're caring about something. It just isn't us. You just care about getting your little sleep on the pillow. Why, we're all perishing out here. This is how arrogant pride is. Nobody cares about me. That's pride. Nobody cares about me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. You just don't understand. I know everybody's ignorant except you, honey. Everybody's absolutely ignorant. Nobody has understanding. You're the one with all the understanding. Nobody goes through what you go through. Everyone is so irresponsible. I'm the only one that's doing anything. Everybody is so irresponsible. I am the only one doing anything. That's how pride talks. You know, we see it in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. In verse 9, it says, "And there he, Elijah, went into a cave." He's running for his life, by the way. He's fleeing from the queen, Miss Jezebel. And he's running for his life. And he runs into this cave. And he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So many times that's how God will communicate with us. He'll come with a question. It's amazing. The one with all the answers comes with questions. Quite a humble God he is. You would think the one with the answers would just come with the answers, tell us the way it is. But anytime he comes with questions, And he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I," you should underline "I" or circle it, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel," "I have been very zealous for the Lord, but for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I," another circle there, "I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Bunch of no good people. "I'm the only one that's serving you. I'm the only one that's living for you. Nobody prays like I pray. Nobody does what I do." And so, you know, then the Bible says the Lord, this is great. Verse 11, the Lord's trying to humble him. So the Lord says, the Lord says to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces. Wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Tore the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So that's that still small voice of the Lord. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Same question. Isn't this amazing? God says, "Come out here, Elijah." And so he said, and there's this earthquake, and the rocks are broken, and this fire. And I mean, it's the Lord just passed by, and all this just, you know, Steven Spielberg. I mean, this is just intense effects are happening here. And so then when all that's over, the Lord says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Now, what are you doing here, Elijah? And look at his response. Look how the rocks being split in pieces and the earthquake and the fire, just look how it just so changed him. Verse 14. So he said, "I," that's a circle, "have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Isn't this amazing? God just passed by, shook everything around him, and he's still more into himself than into God. I mean, at this point, he should be like, "Holy, holy, holy, you are God. There's none like you." But people can get so puffed up, so filled up, so inflated with pride, that even if God passes by and shakes the place, they're still going to be more into themselves than into him. It doesn't matter what kind of utterance he gives in the service. It doesn't matter what kind of signs and wonders take place. It doesn't matter if a big fireball goes through the house. These folks are going to go, "Oh, oh, oh." And as soon as they leave here, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I'm going to go right back to it. Children of Israel, right? Came out of Egypt. God splits the Red Sea. Voila! They rejoice. The horse and the rider is thrown in the sea. They're shaking the tambourine. They go a 3 days journey without water. Next thing you know, they want to kill Moses and they wish they never came out of Egypt. Those folks were so full of themselves, so full of pride, that even after God split the sea, it only lasted a few hours. They were mesmerized by him for a couple hours, and then they were back to me, my life. They couldn't help but being more impressed with themselves than with God himself. This is the danger of pride. It causes you to be delusionary. You can't see straight. You can't see clearly. And it's so insulting and condemning of others. It's accusing. It's critical and judgmental of other people, even of God. Pride is judgmental. You can hear it here. They have done this. They have done that. And I love how God ends this whole thing. Look at this. So God says to him, you know, verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint, da, 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 da. Gives him some instruction. And then he finishes with this, verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, that's a false god, and every mouth that has not kissed him. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And God says to him, in the midst of his delusion, says, hey, Elijah, by the way, I got 7,000 in Israel alone that are zealous for me, that won't bow down to Baal, even though their lives have been severely threatened by the authorities to do so. They won't bow their knee. They won't kiss. They won't worship Baal. They've committed themselves to me. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. See, you see how God's trying to straighten out his arrogant pride. And as long as he's in that condition, he's not going to be a very good help to other people. You're not going to be able to really be able to serve humanity and help other people if you are all puffed up with pride all into yourself, because you're going to be judgmental and critical of people. Whenever you find yourself judgmental and critical, what are you saying? You're saying you're better than them. Not recognizing that if it had not been for the grace of God, you would have been doing what they're doing and even worse. We'd all be in we'd be in a lot of trouble if it be not for the grace of God. Notice over here in Luke chapter 10. Here's a real virtuous woman. Her name was Martha. Over here in Luke, the 10th chapter. And it says in verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted, obviously from Jesus, with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? You should underline that. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Well, what was it that Elijah said? I alone am left, and they seek my life. I alone am left. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? All you care about is yourself. You know, Romans chapter 2, first couple verses there, it tells us that you who judge are guilty of the exact same thing you're judging others of. Lord, don't you care? All you care about is yourself. No, see, you're judging him because all you care about is yourself. It's a spiritual law. When you find yourself being critical and judgmental towards other people and condemning of other people, now understand, there's a time to correct people. If you're an authority to correct somebody, you know, whatever that position might be, if you're an authority to correct somebody, bringing correction out of love, you know, that's a good thing. Bible says that we're to, in humility, correct. In a spirit of gentleness, we're to correct and restore others, considering our own selves, lest we also be tempted. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We restore people in a spirit of gentleness or humility, considering our own selves. And it does say in Proverbs, I believe, or Psalms, it says that harsh correction is for those who have forsaken the way. So there is a time for some harsh correction. But again, it's all out of a spirit of gentleness and humility, considering your own self. It's not out of arrogance and how could you, and I just can't believe it. Well, you better start understanding it and believing it, because you're right there in it right now doing it yourself. It's just being repackaged. So whenever we're judging, this is so good to know. See, because folks, if they don't see this, then they can't even make that adjustment in their lives. If you're condemning and you're critical and you're judgmental, you're guilty of some of these very same things. It's just packaged differently, but it's pride. They're guilty of pride, perhaps, and you're guilty of pride. They're demonstrating it in a different way than maybe you are, but by your attacks and your accusations, you are guilty of the root of the very thing that you despise in them. Are you with me? You cannot restore people, truly restore people, without that spirit of gentleness. You can't really help people unless you come at it with humility. That's how God is restoring humanity. He came in humility to restore humanity. The Bible says in James that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You cannot produce righteousness in an individual by freaking out on them. Your wrath is not going to produce righteousness in them. No, righteousness is sown in peace. It's sown in peace. You've got to first be in peace. You've got to be, if you're going to help anybody, you've got to be in peace. And then in peace, you sow righteousness in peace. And you will produce the fruit of righteousness in people's lives. But don't even try to fix it if you don't have peace. Just run. The Bible talks about that. Just run. Run and hide until you get control of yourself, because you're only going to make it worse. Humility flowing through peace will bring the grace of God into your circumstances. And it's the grace of God that fixes things, not you. God's grace fixes it. So you might sow it. You might sow the righteousness. You sow in peace because you're in humility. But it's God's grace that actually brings the increase. It's God's grace that actually does the fixing. Not you. In all your determination, you're making things worse. Stop it. Humble yourself and be quiet. I said that very nicely, didn't I? So here she is. I mean, Lord, I'm walking over to Jesus. Do you not care? Do you not care? This is the voice of panic and strife. Again, she's insulting Jesus. She's making accusations with her question. She's having a panic attack. And like I said before, strife is nothing more than two people having a panic attack. If you can see it that way, you'll stay out of it. Strife is just two people having a panic attack. Now, if one person wants to have a panic attack, well, let them have a panic attack. Sometimes you just got to walk away. The Bible says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Sometimes you just got to say, okay. No, I got you. I got you. Then the shoe hits you as you're walking out there. No, I got you. I got you. That's okay. We'll get back to that. Sometimes you just got to go. Not mount up your horses and say, okay, ching. You want to fight? Fight me. That was a sword. I was throwing it from hand to hand. You're going to lose. You're going to make a mess. Let the Lord do it. Are you listening to me? She's having a panic attack. And really, she's getting into strife with the Lord. She's trying to. Don't you care? Don't you care? She's sitting here. You're eating that. And nobody's leaving. And Jesus could have just freaked out right back. Hey, woman. Buzz off. There's five other houses I could have gone to. I came to your house. Well, I expect a little bit more from you, Jesus, when you come to my house. I just won't come to your house next time. Well, that's just fine with me. I'm out of here. Where's my disciples? Let's go. Mount the donkeys. I mean, it could have got bad. That was an explosive situation. She was a stick of dynamite. But Jesus just looked at her. Martha. 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 Hey, Martha's out there. He had to say her name two times. Martha, Martha. Martha. And you don't know the pause between the two. You know, it's probably Martha. And I don't know. And I don't know. Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things. Well, there's a lot on my plate. There's a lot on my plate. I have good reason to worry. Friend, you never have good reason to worry. In other words, you never have good reason to walk in arrogance and pride. You never have a good reason to be arrogant and prideful. So let's stop excusing it and commending ourselves for something as ugly as this and realize we don't have a right. You don't have the right to be prideful. You don't have the right to be full of worries. You don't have the right to be troubled like this. Worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Oh, if we'd only believe that. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. It's not going to be stolen from her. What is that good part? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to know how to let the world stop at the feet of Jesus. We need to know how to just get still before God. Say, you know what? You're with me, Jesus. All is well, Jesus. You're here. You're my support. You're my help. And you care about me. So I'm not going to carry these cares. I'm not going to worry about it. You know, if God's not worried about it, why in the world would you be? I mean, Jesus was not worried about the meal. He wasn't worried about all that. So why should she be? I mean, it's supposed to be for him, isn't it? So if it's for him and he's not worried about it, then why are you so worried about it? Because a lot of people's serving is more about them than actually who they're serving. It's pride. They're more interested in themselves, how this affects them, how this makes them look. And so a lot of so-called serving is just selfishness. There's a lot of folks that want to be in the ministry, and it's like, oh, It's just such selfishness. It's really not about helping people. It's about exalting themselves. It's about having a position. It's about feeling important, doing something that makes them feel good about themselves. But I like to say, stop trying to do things to feel good about yourself and just go ahead and be good. Let's not substitute godly works for being godly. A lot of folks are looking to do something godly rather than just being godly. I want to be godly and let godly works be an overflow of who I am in Christ. I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about ministry. I'm in the ministry. I never asked for this. Never asked for this. The Lord sent me. He anointed me. He's going to have to keep on doing it because I'm still not living for ministry. I'm not living for doing something great for God. I'm just living for God. And I'm doing what he tells me to do. And that's how we all need to live our life. Living it for him so that everything we do, ministry, work, whatever it is, family, you name it, it's all out of the overflow of who we are in him. And if you're living life out of overflow, then you're not getting overwhelmed by life. I'll say that again. If you're living life out of your overflow, then you're not going to get overwhelmed by life. Those who are overflowing cannot be overwhelmed. You can be only overwhelmed if you cease overflowing and you start thinking about yourself, worried about yourself. Then the cares of life, then everything in life will overwhelm you. It will overtake you. It will wipe you out. Man was never created to live independent of God, carrying his cares and trying to make it in life. God's the one that makes us. He's the one that lifts us up. He's the one that raises us up. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." You can see the strife in Martha. Strife against Jesus, strife against her sister. Pride is what brings strife. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." Hallelujah. I need the wisdom of God, don't you? We need the wisdom of God, so we need to humble ourselves. God will give us the wisdom we need to get through our workday, to help get us through whatever it is we're going through. We need the wisdom of God. We're going to be able to obtain wisdom by humility. But pride's just going to bring problems. It's going to cause strife and bring disgrace to our lives. Now, peace makes some people feel uneasy because it makes them feel unimportant. A lot of times, pride is comfortable with being contentious. Why? Because it makes, if they're all upset about things, it makes them feel like they're so important. Pride likes feeling important. And so I have all these problems. I have all these cares. And they're so worried. And they're so full of strife. And they're so that they have a lot going on. You're a very busy person. Oh, yes, I'm very busy. I'm very important. But you need to find your importance. You need to find your security in him. I'm important because he made me. I'm important because he died for me. I'm important because he has been resurrected and he lives in me. You don't make me feel important about me. I don't need the approval of man. I don't need to be busy doing a lot of things to make myself feel like a very productive and important person. I'm productive and important because I'm in him. And you spending some time with God, some real quality time with him on the mountaintop, so to speak, you know, in prayer, whatever. You spend some time in his word. And friend, I got news for you. You have been more productive and you have done more than most people in the world have done. You spend time with Jesus. I remember that when I was out in Oklahoma, graduated from school, and I was working as a youth pastor, youth minister at a church and doing some other things as well. And I was in the office there in the afternoon. I was the only one there, and I had spent my time with the Lord and in the Word and things. And then I got up, and I was done. You know, I was done with that. And I got up, and there was nothing going on. The phones weren't ringing or anything. It was a new church, and not much was going on. And I was just kind of standing there, and I thought, why, you know, Lord, you just got me kind of hanging out here, you know. I looked outside, people running to and fro, cars everywhere, you know. You see all the traffic, people running in and out of buildings. I thought, here I am just standing here. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, you've done more than all these people put together. You spent time with me. You got revelation from me. Man, just a little time on top of the mountain with the Lord. I mean, hearing from God. What's that worth to you? That's more valuable. That's more weighty. That's more costly than running around making a paycheck for the day. Come on, somebody. Our fruitfulness, our sense of importance, our sense of self-worth is all in Him and what He has done for us and who He is to us. Man, we're the righteousness of God in Him. I don't have to try to make myself righteous. I'm just going to let that overflow. Huh? Important? I've been raised up and made to sit. Forget about sitting. You think sitting on the platform makes me feel important? I've been raised up and made to sit together with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above all principality and power and every name that is named. Glory be to God. I'm an ambassador for Christ, man. I'm a member of the body of Christ. You think I need a position or I need somebody to say you're wonderful, Pastor, to feel wonderful? Friend, I feel wonderful. Oh, I feel wonderful. Self-worth? Oh, my goodness, it's through the roof. But it's not based on my works. It's not based on what I'm doing. It's based on what He's doing, what He's done in me. Hey, man. And He's done the same thing in you. I said He's done the same thing in you. Friend, you need to just kick back and start learning how to enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy who you are in Christ. And then bless God, you'll just overflow. You'll just overflow to the world, glory be. God will overflow out of you. And He'll make you a blessing to others in due season. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet and thank the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say this with me. Say, I cast all my cares on Him. And I clothe myself with humility. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I know He cares for me. God, I know You care for me. You love me. You got me covered. Help me to stop worrying. Stop being troubled. Stop yielding to pride. Help me to resist the pride and yield to You. Yield to humility. And receive Your grace. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for clothing me. Thank You for helping me. I thank You. You got all those cares already worked out. I trust You. I trust You with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.